Hey podcasters, Claresy, Matt and Kimber here from The Big Breakfast.
On today's catch up, what is the grossest thing you have found in your fridge?
Superstar of stage and now of our TV screen, of course, with Orange is the New Brown, Nazeem Hussain. Funny dude.
Damian Martin, inspirational skipper of the Wildcats, and Mum is the Word with Janelle Koenig.
Wake up with The Big Breakfast. Claresy, Matt and Kimber. Weekdays from 6am on Mix 94.5.
This Big Breakfast catch-up is for the new Elite Triple Cell Solar Pool Blanket.
I just made you guys tea.
Thanks,
man.
Got it right. Kimber used her incredible superpower of being able to smell because I'd forgotten whose tea I'd sugared.
I can smell sugar.
You can smell sugar. You really can, can't you? You're like a bloodhound.
Oh, yeah. Like if I need sugar in my house, I'm like, where is it? I'll find it.
You sniff it out?
Oh, yeah.
You'll be like the ants.
Yep.
Anyway, so I was in our kitchenette that we have here at Mix 94.5. Boy, it stank, the fridge.
Is it not good?
The fridge here is often, like, surprisingly gross.
It is.
We've had to put rules on it. There's all these rules. There's signs all over the fridge that say it's a plastic-free zone. You're not allowed to bring in lunch in a plastic bag anymore because it gets pushed to the back of the fridge and people don't know it's there.
Stuff does get forgotten. Yeah, it gets forgotten, but there is a regular clean out of our fridge, isn't
there? Yes. Is it once a week or once every month?
I think it's a month.
Okay.
Which is enough time for some stuff to grow in there,
it
which
certainly
scientists wouldn't want to go near.
Well, can I just announce to you, if you didn't already know, today, November the 15th, is that today? Yeah.
Yeah, I hope so.
Is National Clean Out Your Fridge Day.
Very good.
I mean, are you okay day? I understand.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, clean out your fridge day. Do we need a national day to clean out our fridges? Are we that disgusting?
And what colour ribbon do you wear?
I don't know. I've seen some odd colours in that fridge and some stuff growing on top of odd colours.
Oh, yeah. No, fridges can get particularly gross.
It's normally like a white-green kind of gross.
Oh, I don't know. We've all lived in share houses as students.
Oh, man.
I mean, goodness me.
You know what, too? Sometimes it doesn't even have to be a student situation. Even at my house, I'm very clean with the fridge.
Mm.
I only buy what I need each week because I don't like wasting. So
yeah.
I kind of don't overshop.
Mm.
So I'm pretty good with it. But if James cooks something, if my partner cooks something at my house, or he leaves something behind in a container that I don't know is there, I'll find that weeks later because I don't know it exists. It'll be in this nice little Tupperware container and everything will look fine. And then you take the lid off and you go, what the heck was that?
Yes.
Don't even recognize it.
Well, this morning we are putting out the call and honestly, we want you to take this to the nth degree. We want to know the grossest, the most disgusting thing you've ever found in your fridge.
Does this include my mate Skid Marks when we used to live in Meriden in a place together? And he used to love baked beans, but he often didn't eat the whole can because he'd buy the big cans because it was cheaper.
Right.
Have you seen what grows on baked beans after about 6 weeks?
I can only imagine.
There's a lot of, a lot of people wouldn't touch it in research labs.
You know what I think is the worst offender in my fridge over the past, like, say, 20 years?
Yeah. What?
Cucumber.
Oh, really?
Cucumber also can, it turns into liquid.
Oh, yeah, they're going
to
mush.
So what you do is you find this bag at the back of the fridge and you open the bag and it's dripping with this. Oh,
I know.
It's disgusting.
Well, it's like decaying body matter,
It really is, and it's like an analogy for life. How can something so firm and wonderful become so flaccid and soggy?
What are we talking about now? Oh, sorry, what's in your fridge?
The Big Breakfast with Claresy, Matt and Kimber.
On this National Clean Out Your Fridge Day.
Yeah, apparently today's the day you're supposed to empty out all the gross things from your fridge, wipe down the shelves, you know. I only do that on moving day.
Yeah, good luck.
Oh, really?
When you're moving house, that's when I'm like, now's a good time to clean those shelves.
Stay there for 8 years.
Just try not to make a mess in the first place.
All right, let's go to Ellenbrook. Kim, what is the grossest thing you found in your fridge?
Once we decided what it was, we realised that we had the most gross Vienna sausages, like footy hot dog sausages, that had been in there for about 6 months, safely in a Tupperware, but it was a mixture of liquid like the cucumber juice and lumps.
Sausage lumps.
Yeah, keep talking.
Yeah, with fur, a blanket of fur on.
Yeah.
And Mum opened the container and started dry heaving and then ran to the bathroom. So she's throwing up in the toilet. I go to see if she's okay and start heaving because she's making me feel sick.
If you hurl, I'm going to blow chunks. Not good.
Yep, so I'm blowing chunks in the bathroom and we're just setting each other off. And to this day, we cannot eat a hot dog sausage. It's disgusting.
And that's the container has to go out too, right?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. As it was in about 3 packets in the bin.
What a mistake taking the lid off. Normally with housemates, when you found that gross stuff, I just chucked the whole container. Everything went. I was like, I don't know what was in that thing, but it's all gone.
Absolutely. And when that happens at work, because we do a weekly clean out of the fridge, when that happens, we're all like, don't open the lid, just throw it away. I'm happy to buy a new Tupperware.
I've got creepy goosebumps just thinking about the fur growing.
And who would have thought there was actually something natural in those things that could go off?
Well, I mean, mind you, she did say it just turned to liquid and lumps. Yeah. Like, what were the lumps?
Yeah. Yeah. Growth on
gristle.
Top of the fuzz.
Whoa.
Let's go to Hammond Park. G'day, Paul.
Yeah, good morning. How are you all?
Good, mate. The grossest thing you found in your fridge on National Clean Out Your Fridge Day.
Can't be that bad, can it, Paul?
It could be. I'm going to build the story up.
Right.
So my sister came round when I used to live in the UK. I was a young guy at my own house. And so she came round with a new baby niece. And I didn't realise until probably about she was 3 years old when I was looking in the back of my freezer that she'd played a bit of a joke and put a frozen nappy. A dirty nappy.
Wrapped
up in the back of the freezer.
You thought it was Neapolitan ice cream.
Luckily I didn't try to defrost it at Mrs. Mac's pie and find it was something else.
Do you think she put it in there as a joke or was it just this is going to stink in the bin?
She put it as a joke. I asked her about it and my niece was like 3 years old. It's been there for like 3 years.
That's disgusting.
Brilliant, Paul. Thank you.
Thanks, mate. Paul of Hammond Park.
This'll fill you up. Everything Perth for Brekkie. Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Claire, Matt and Kimber.
Talking about the most disgusting thing in your fridge. We've had old sausages and an old nappy in the freezer.
Yeah, National Clean Out Your Fridge Day. Steve's in Midland. What's the grossest thing you found in your fridge, buddy?
I pulled into my sister's place for a bit of a feed after work and opened up the fridge and there was chicken a la king in the fridge. So I've grabbed it out of the fridge, put it on the stove, got a little bit warm, and then it started moving. It was full of maggots.
Maggot stew.
I didn't eat much of that.
They were just cryogenically frozen or stunned for a moment until you gave them some heat.
Yeah, I didn't even really look. I just opened it up and went, that smells all right.
Were you tempted at all, Steve, just to think, what do they taste like?
No, not really.
No.
Would have been bonus protein free.
Yeah.
Thanks, Steve.
Good on you, mate.
So disgusting.
John's in Parkerville. John, what's the grossest thing you've ever found in your fridge?
It was basically a friend's. Went to the fridge, there's a little jar in there, and we said, what's that? And he turned around and goes, that's my finger.
Sorry?
But it's been there for so long, it was just basically this little nub of a thing that's just sitting in there, and he goes, I lost it at work, so I've kept it as a memento.
I thought the idea was what you do is when the finger comes off, you hold it back on and wait for it to reattach, not stick it in a jar.
No, he stuck it in a jar. It wasn't protected or anything else like that, so it was just slowly decaying away. And he thought it was
so you didn't have a bag of ice to take it to the microsurgeon?
No, it was taken off. It wasn't going back on again, that's for sure.
I reckon that'd be cool to just have in your drink, like one of those eyeball ice blocks.
The secrets people keep in their fridge. This stuff's gross.
No, not this.
Good on you, John.
The Big Breakfast with Claire, Matt and Kimber.
Creator and star of Legally Brown and half of the comedy duo Fear of a Brown Planet. It feels like, as we mentioned earlier, that sketch comedy is back well and truly and getting a whole new audience. Orange is the New Brown is on Channel 7 tonight at 8:30. Nazim Hussain is on the line. How are you, mate?
Good, how are you?
Very well. Good to hear your voice.
Very excited. Thanks for having me, guys.
Nazim, looking at this show, I mean, the sketches have been making us laugh. We're only, not even second episode in or two episodes in? But comedians can be found in so many places, but some of the actors have surprised you with how funny they are. Who's shocked you so far?
I mean, I had no idea. You know, we obviously asked some big-name dramatic actors, Kat Stewart, Claudia Carvin, we had Kamal. But I reckon they're all surprised us in a different way. I think Sigrid Thornton, she's been the biggest surprise for all of us. I'm not even joking. A lot of the footage we couldn't use when she was on set was unusable because the cameraman was shaking a lot of the time and the sound guy would laugh into the mic. But she was just tearful. And to be honest, kind of effortless for most of these, for all of them, actually. They just came on and did funny like it was natural and really pissed me off, to be honest.
So infuriating.
Working so hard.
Yeah.
Funny, you know.
Some great sketches. We'll have a little play of some audio from one with one and only Tim Minchin. Have a listen.
Yes, Ravi was one of the original members of the group. And yes, he's the one who brought the idea that each wiggle should have a certain colour. He just wanted that colour to be brown.
Toot, toot, chugga, chugga, big brown cow. Brown spaghetti, brown spaghetti. Brown banana.
Yeah, it's a great sketch and off to such a great start in episode one, Naz. You know, we have struggled, even those of us who want Australian sketch comedy to be brilliant, and of late we seem to have struggled a little bit to get sketch comedy really, pumping and for the audience to get on board with it. Is that something you guys talked about, and talked about maybe some of the mistakes that other sketch shows have made?
I mean, so we did a couple of seasons on SBS on a show called Legally Brown.
Yep.
And so it's the same crew of people. And, yeah, like, sketch comedy is a bit hit and miss with the Australian audience. And I feel like the bar has been set really high. You know, we've had a pretty amazing golden age of sketch comedy back in the day. And Australians tend to think back to those days when they're watching sketch these days. But, you know, I feel like this show, Orange is the New Brown, we've searched far and wide. We've got so many comedians came in and worked on the show, whether you see them on screen or you don't. Like, they were in the writer's room. We were all riffing together.
Yeah.
We spent a lot of time. It's only six episodes. So we thought we'd go for quality over quantity. You know, we spent a whole lot of time writing. And I think, you know, sketch does well when there's a lot of heads involved. And people seem to be liking it. So, you know, I'm not saying it's one of the great sketch shows, but so far it hasn't tanked.
No, it's off to a great start, man.
You're good, mate. Hey, mate, I'm feeling a bit peckish. I might try the Aussie sushi train today. Do these eyes or ears come to you when you're lying on the couch, you're having a shower? It's amazing. I go, who thought of that and when?
Well, that one was like one of the writers, Richard Thorpe. He came up with that one. But it's a mental idea. And I just remember the ideas that came off the back of that initial idea were just bonkers. We had to edit a lot of it out because it's probably not appropriate for television. But you know, people are talking about how it's a politically correct time right now and people are very sensitive and, you know, you can't really talk or joke about anything. How do you do comedy? But I feel like actually this is the perfect time to do comedy. And when you can cut through and just make fun of all that uptightness, that's when things are funnier. So I think that's maybe why this show seems to be resonating at the moment, because, you know, just going back to what initially made us laugh back in the day. So,
well, the key is you used the keywords earlier. It hasn't tanked yet. It's all good, mate.
Thank God. But you're only as good as your last episode, so we'll see.
Or the last skit. Hey, Nazim, good to catch up, mate. All the best.
Thanks, guys.
The Big Breakfast with Clarzy, Matt and Kimber. Talking basketball with Damian Martin from the Perth Wildcats.
He may be wrapped in cotton wool of late, but his mate Bryce Cotton is scoring buzzer beaters to win. Damo, good to see you, mate.
Oh, it's good. And always puts a smile on my face when you mention Bryce Cotton. What a superstar.
What a legend.
Can't really go wrong, can we?
No, just give him the ball and he'll go get us the win. He must get a sore back from carrying us at times. But look, on Friday night, we started the game really well against Brisbane in Perth. And then, you know, double-digit lead. 5 minutes into it, Angus Brandt rolls his ankle, our starting centre.
Yeah.
It's back to a one-point game by halftime. And then credit to the guys, knowing they're going into the second half without three of their usual starters, all out injured. To get that win with a buzzer beater by Bryce Cotton, what a legend. And then to carry it over to Illawarra in an away game, win on the road, again missing three players. Look, it was one of my most favourite weekends of basketball, and I didn't even play. I sat on the pine the whole time watching from the sidelines.
Bench warmer.
Exactly right.
But that's been a big change for you too, because you were playing like full games, minute after minute, constantly, and now you've had to sit a few out. You've had a few on the sides. How is that for you now?
Yeah, it's always frustrating when you're injured watching from the sidelines. Winning makes it that little bit better. But the guys that we recruited in the off-season, obviously they're highly skilled guys, but they're high-character guys. So the style of play we have right now, no one questions it. Everyone buys into their role. And I just love the energy and the work ethic the guys are bringing to it. And Nick Kay, you know, everyone gives Bryce Cotton credit, and he is. He's the best player in the league. But the season Nick is having so far, our new recruit from Illawarra, he's almost averaging a double-double. I think he's the best big in the league, but because of that superstar Bryce, he kind of goes unmentioned, but he's been fantastic.
It's like being in a team with Michael Jordan, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly right.
Oh, I'm glad to hear you say that, because I was thinking, gee, Trevor's job must be pretty easy. Just get the whiteboard up and go, all right, guys, just give it to Bryce.
Give it to him.
At any time, just find Bryce.
Give it to LeBron.
There are times I'm out on the court and I thought, oh, we really need 2 points. All right, ego, Bryce. But like, he is that good. But obviously, every team is scouting how we're going to try and stop Bryce Cotton. And they're throwing two and at sometimes three players on him, and he's still getting the job done. And he's that unselfish that, you know, when he drags two or three players, he's more than happy to pass it away. And that's when guys like Mitch Norton have stepped up, or Jesse Wagstaff was huge. Clint Steindl has, you know, been amazing at 5 from 5 threes last game. And I'm expecting another huge game from the Queenslander up in Cairns tomorrow night.
Well, we know that the Red Army had taken the pink off. They had the red back on. Yeah. Geez, they're loud, aren't they? But not as loud as this bloke.
It's the moments when stars come to play. He's the biggest of them all. Step back. 4-3. Incredible! Bryce Cotton is paid $600,000 and he's worth every single cent.
Oh, a little bit excited there, Lockie Reid, giving away how much the players are ruining. That's terrific.
we all heard that, and all of a sudden we looked over at Bryce and we're like, mate, I can't believe you made me pay for coffee this morning. We're like, I do not think Bryce is on $600,000, and if he is, he's the highest paid player ever in the NBL. But look, if he is, you're not going to have any of us questioning it. He is a superstar. But
all that money they saved from Townsville when they shut down the team, they just went, well, we'll just throw it all towards Bryce.
Just give it to Bryce.
I secretly think that's what Lockie Reid makes at 10.
Exactly.
Right. Maybe Lockie and Bryce have the same accountant.
Might be it.
He might have a bit of insider information.
He might be getting confused with the Bogut money.
Yeah, exactly. Well, Bogut's going to be a 10% owner of the Kings when he retires as well, so that's a massive incentive. Yeah.
Well, but don't feel bad that you only get $500,000, Damo. You're still the number one player in our minds.
Oh, thanks. Jack Bendat, our owner, if you're listening. Mate, let's get it to six. What's going on here?
I'm up in Fifey territory.
Hey, who we got this week? Taipans? Cairns?
Yeah, Cairns. So we actually have quite a few former teammates suiting up for Cairns. So Nate Jarwa, Jared Kenny, Dexter Koenig-Drew, Alex Loughton. So, we like to refer to them as the Cairns Wildcats at times. But, you know, some of my closest friends are on the team. So I can't wait, one, to catch up with them off the court. But secondly, you know, they started the season with an away win. And since then, they've lost five in a row. Nearly beat the reigning champs in Melbourne last weekend. So they would have taken confidence from that. But, they're on the back foot a little bit.
Hey, all the best on the weekend, bud.
Thanks, guys.
Everything Perth for Brekkie. Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Clancy, Matt and Kimber.
For the new Elite Triple Cell Solar Pool Blankets, the elite at poolcovers.com.au.
Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Clancy, Matt and Kimber. Everything Perth for Brekkie.
Mum is the word. The word is the word that you heard.
She's just emerged again, the one, the only, Janelle Koenig.
Now I sound like the Predator. Coming in my image.
Oh, yeah.
Good cue camouflage.
Wouldn't be bad to be the Predator.
Yeah, it would be pretty good.
That's a cool monster.
As a mum.
As a mum.
That is me, actually, every morning. What am I talking about? So, we have a reasonably extensive home library of children's books at home. Mm-hmm. You know, we get them as gifts a lot. I ask my friends to give them books because I'd rather that than a piece of plastic.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And when my eldest was about 3 or 4, she had a book called Fluffy Bunnies. And she was obsessed with this book, which meant that I in turn hated it.
Right. Mm-hmm.
I loathed this book. And it was basically, there were 5 bunnies and 5 fluffy bunnies running down the street.
Yeah.
One, you know, nicked off to the shops. Now there are 3. I know that the maths was wrong there, but whatever.
No, that's okay. We get the point. But it's about the repetition. It's about the repetition with the child as well.
The repetition.
Yeah, that's like me with high five. Yeah.
So 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Oh.
It was awful. And then the last one, one fluffy bunny by the name of Billy John got caught by the farmer's dog. Now there are none.
Oh.
So not only was there a massacre, there was a massacre at the end of the book. Yeah, anyway, I hated this book. Mairead was upset. And I will admit, it didn't even have an author on it.
Oh,
the author wasn't even proud of it. That's how bad it was.
That's rare.
I'm not putting my name to that.
No,
that's crap.
Yeah.
Ghost written.
But it had like cutouts of the bunnies.
Right.
So every time you went to 4, 3, 2, 1, there were holes and then little plastic bunnies in the book so that you got back to none by the end. Anyway, so I tried to get rid of this book so many times. I would hide it at the back of the shelves.
Yeah.
I would hide it under beds, under mattresses because I didn't want, I just had to read it like 5 times a day. I was sick of it. I could repeat it by memory.
Especially if the bits of plastic fell out. That's a swallowing
habit. True. I tried to get rid of it so many times. And then my school had this thing called a book swap.
Right.
So you bring in all the books that you've finished with.
Yep.
bring it, donate it to the school, and then the kids come to school with their gold coin donation and they can choose any book. So I didn't tell Mairead and I slid it in there. I slipped it in.
Great.
The book, I slipped it in and it was never spoken of again.
Fantastic. Someone else's life is ruined.
Well, guess what?
What?
Book swap was last week.
Oh, no.
I have two children.
Oh.
And you will never guess. No. You will never guess what book came home.
You got Fluffy Bunnies again.
50 Shades of Grey.
Oh.
That was Fluffy Bunnies. She brought home Fluffy Bunnies. It's bad. Oh. It's a bad penny. Oh, God. But,
and the kid that did get the Fluffy Bunnies book, did they now realise that that was actually Hugh Hefner's autobiography?
Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Claire-Z, Matt and Kimber.
Another day brings more news with the occasional bizarre twist. She's a really good newsreader, but here's what Belinda missed.
Hey, Matt, I think it's time for news from Vladivostok.
Yes, thank you, Clarizy. I don't know if you've ever done this, but me and some friends once, or some friends and I, to use correct English, once thought we were hysterically funny by going through, you know that Hungry Jack's drive-thru on Beaufort Street, corner of Vincent and Beaufort Street?
Yeah, Mount Lawley, yeah.
We went through the drive-thru like pretending we were in a car even though we were on foot, right?
We sort of crouched down.
Crouched down.
It does feel like everyone has done this at some point.
Everyone's done it, and you think you're the first to ever do it.
Yeah.
You know, beer may have been involved.
Someone serving going, another one.
We
had one last month.
Yeah. Yes. Well, in Vladivostok, which is the best-sounding name ever, isn't it?
So cool.
I just want to buy a sporting team in Vladivostok just so I can have something in Vladivostok.
Rather go there than Russia, than Moscow.
Yeah, yeah. Well, they have, of course, freeways are dangerous places.
True.
And they don't like pedestrians on freeways.
No.
They don't mix.
For good reason.
So four blokes have thought, well, we need to get there, but we're on foot.
Yeah.
So we'll build a cardboard box bus. Right? And they've literally, there's film, and I believe we have a little bit of audio of a Russian lady seeing
it. She was filming the yellow painted box.
Here we go.
What did she
say there?
She said, look at those four guys in that cardboard bus. And police have pulled them over.
So this is like Flintstone style. You can see their feet out the bottom.
And the wonderful part of it is that when they leave the freeway, they stay in character.
Oh, yeah, yeah, they're still bus.
They're
bus
still
legs.
In the bus.
They keep their bus legs really well.
But obviously, and police over there, Senior Sergeant Sergei Siriovsky, has said that, you can't be doing this.
No, not okay.
I've been to a function once where I had to dress up with a mate as a horse, and he got to be the horse's ass. You know the horse costumes where you walk along? So it's that similar kind of feeling. And isn't it funny, the things that amuse you the most, because it was one of the funniest things I've ever done.
Yeah.
Same thing with your mates doing the car thing at the drive-thru.
Brilliant. I love it. I hope they didn't get in too much trouble, because that's funny.
I saw that clip this morning. It was hilarious. No, they basically laughed when they told them off and they turned around and drove off.
They walked
off the other way, yeah. Still in the bus, yeah. It was hilarious.
And this Russian lady is Captain Paul's new girlfriend.
There'll
be a joke at 5 to 9 to follow.
As she just said, I don't mind Bella's hair.
Everywhere.
Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Claire-Zy, Matt and Kimber.
It's 2018 and we may not have flying cars yet.
Oh, you know.
No, but what we do have is a constant unemployment rate. And it's going to continue. The Brickies will be nervous this morning because the video has come out of the Perth-based Fast Brick Robotics company that have created the Hadrian X. Mm-hmm. And the Hadrian X basically it's a robot that can be a bricklayer.
So everything's programmed to lay the bricks in super fast time.
Yeah, you can actually program it to have a brickie's cleavage.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah.
It's incredible. The Hadrian X is a truck loaded with pre-cut bricks that have been prefabricated. Everything's been already designed and organized in a 3D model.
Mm.
And this Hadrian X pulls up, drives to the construction site, and then a laser-guided robotic attachment feeds the bricks through the arm and it continually places them into position. And they've basically created a 3x2 home in 3 days.
That's
bloody
incredible.
Hell.
That's amazing
stuff.
That's
just a little bit scary, though, for manual labour.
Yeah.
It is, because I think that, you know, when we look at trades, we always think that they're the ones that are probably the safest bet when it comes to jobs. You're probably not going to be replaced because we need you.
Mm. Yeah. It's probably time to play the nerd alert siren, because when I watch Grand Designs and I see a bricky at work doing the manual job and he's just cleaning up that little bit of mortar and the rest of it, I really like watching that. I think that's really cool because it's such an incredible skill.
It is, isn't it? It's an art form.
I reckon I'd be hopeless at it. I'd put way too much on or way too little.
But watching a fire.
Yeah,
pretty much.
And not only a bricky's going to lose their job, the people in Grand Designs will lose their job.
Oh, no.
They can't be interviewing Hadrian X.
I mean, this is amazing stuff. When you think that the full construction of a 3-bedroom, 2-bathroom house in less than 3 days, I mean, that, you know, what you could pump out in that time, and it's taking the heavy lifting off labourers, people having to drag bricks across the site.
These old school Aussie, imagine how long it would take to knock up a brick house.
Well, they're saying too that because they can really rely on the prefabrication, it's sub-millimetre accuracy.
Yeah.
So there's just...
That's under a millimetre.
Everything's programmed.
There is.
It's incredible.
Next to no room for error. And the thing is, these are actually pretty affordable. I mean, not for Joe Blow, not for us. But they reckon they're about $2 million each when they go to market next year. Now, that's not a lot, I think.
That's not the house it's building. That's the robot, right?
Yeah, that's the robot. Okay. Mm. So, I mean, if you can build a house in 3 days and the robot's $2 million, I would love to see the government buy something like this for crisis accommodation.
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be what you need it for?
Yeah, not just for everyone, the rest of us in the
burbs.
Don't
take the jobs off the brickies who are out there working their guts out trying to make a living.
Yes.
Buy this stuff for crisis accommodation, emergency homes, short-term living, you know. Put these houses, put them up and help our homeless people.
That's a great idea.
What a good idea.
This bloody Hadrian X, I don't like him at all.
Not happy? Is it the name? Yeah. Or is it?
Will he go to Subway? No.
Oh, no.
Will he bury bits of random rubble? No.
Will he join the union?
No, he won't.
The union won't be happy with this.
But also, while he's laying all the bricks, you can go off and get yourself a Subway.
Actually, maybe I like him a lot.
Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Claire-Z, Matt and Kimber. Everything Perth for brekkie.
Think quick.
Love it.
Win big. This is Mix 94.5's Pressure Test.
Let's play. See if we can give away $250 in Helena Valley. John, good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, John, how do you go under pressure?
Not very well.
Oh, welcome. They're just like us.
You've come to the wrong place, John.
You're part of the team. At least you're consistent with us, John. Well done.
Oh, mate, you know how it works. We give you this category. We give you a time limit. You need to give us a certain number of correct answers before the time runs out. For everyone you get right, John, $10. But if you get all of them, $250. You ready?
Ready, go.
Okay. All right, let's do it. 15 seconds on the clock for you today, John.
Shall I lock it in now?
Yeah, do it.
Done.
And your time's going to start as soon as I give you the category. We need you to list 8 Perth suburbs starting with the letter G. Go.
Gosnells, Girraween,
Glendalough,
Gooseberry Hill, Welling Up.
There we go. We're out of time.
I heard Gosnells, Girraween.
And Glendalough and Gooseberry Hill.
Gooseberry Hill, absolutely.
Definitely. Gwelling Up was kind of like a kind of nice mix between Gwell Up and Yelling Up.
But I didn't pick Glendalough. It's really close to home.
Yes, absolutely. Well, Glendalough sounds like a lovely little southwestern town, doesn't it?
Yeah. Well, we could definitely give you the 4 there, though, John.
Definitely,
so $40.
Thank you.
Well played. Who was helping you there?
My wife.
Well played. She did well too.
Yeah.
Did she get half, John? How does this work? You know, I'm just concerned.
She didn't make the call, did she?
No.
Very good.
It's on a technicality.
30-10.
Yeah. Well played, John. It's a tough one. We could have also had Greenwood, Greenmount, Guildford.
Gidgiganup.
Golden Bay.
Green Forest.
You said Guildford earlier, Matty?
Guildford, yeah.
Nangara is the one I never think of.
Oh, of course.
The old silent G.
Yes. Oh, wonderful.
Yeah. Yeah.
Thanks, John. Thanks for playing.
Thank you.
Yeah, you too. Have a great day. Well done.
Okay, bye.
The Big Breakfast with Claire-Z, Matt and Kimber.
Three.
The juice.
Oh, do tell.
Let's hear it. Give me the details.
The movie-making master James Cameron has released a new trailer for his current project. The film is called Alita: Battle Angel.
Mm.
It's a screen adaptation of the Japanese manga, and Cameron's actually been working on this for some time. He said nearly two decades because the technology was not there for him to make what he wanted.
Bloody hell, can you imagine spending two decades trying to do something? I lose interest after about 40 minutes.
It's also cool that he's already imagining things in his head, what he wants to do, but going, oh, it's not, I don't have the capacity to do it yet.
Same thing happened with Avatar. He said it wasn't ready, and now it's ready, you know? Like,
how wonderfully creative to be able to envisage something like that and then just hope it comes about.
Well, think about Leonardo da Vinci drawing diagrams of helicopters.
There you go.
I'm out. I'm done.
Look at Leonardo DiCaprio drawing a great big door.
Well, James Cameron has, he's screenwriter and producer on this project, but he's handed over the directing role. And this is the story of Alita, a cyborg with no memory of who she is or where she's from.
Does it bother you that I'm not completely human?
You are the most human person I have ever met.
You are someone very special.
Not just a teenage girl.
Doc found you in the scrapyard. So you must be from up there.
I need you to destroy a girl called Alita.
This film looks beautiful because they've blended the animation. Mm. So she's not real. She's completely animated, but she looks like a human.
Okay.
Right.
And all the other actors are legit.
So, like a lot of games now.
Yeah. Christopher Waltz and Jennifer Connelly. There's some fantastic performances in there, but it just looks gorgeous. It's Alita Battle Angel. It will be released in Australia February 14.
And that's the most important thing too, isn't it, that it looks gorgeous?
Well,
hey, I thought you were out.
Did I tell you about Leonardo? No, okay.
It's what I want from a big movie from James Cameron. You know, true. I want the spectacular.
Yeah, right. He does that, yeah.
And Dave Grohl, I mean, he's just a good dude. Dave Grohl from the Foo Fighters. We all know he's been, he always puts his heart into everything.
Yeah.
Lots of examples of him coming to the aid of others and helping other people.
Yep.
And now, he's because he's such a top bloke, he's rocked up at the Calabasas Fire Station 68 on Monday night in California and cooked barbecues for the fireys.
Oh, good on you, Dave.
Yeah, they're out there trying to save lives. And it was a really, you know, the fires have been terrible. The death toll was at 42. They've got about 230 people missing.
Yes. It reminds me of the actor Steve Buscemi and a few others who rolled up to fireys around 9/11 time.
That's right.
Donated their time and got involved.
Yeah, it's great. I mean, Dave Grohl did bring the meat from his new Backbeat barbecue restaurant.
Okay.
So there was a bit of a plug in there for him.
No problem with that.
As long as he wasn't wearing the company shirt with the logo on.
Yeah.
It would have been a bit crass. But
it doesn't matter.
Nah, everyone loves Dave Grohl, particularly my girlfriend.
Oh yeah. That's right. Yeah.
Big
nice
love, is
hall pass for her.
Yeah, so move on, please.
and so many opportunities to meet him too, because he comes here often.
It could happen.
It could happen.
Yeah, Dave Grohl, think about it. It's pretty hot and manly, isn't he?
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah, anyway.
Why do you think I'm trying to grow this beard?
I'm sorry, I'm trying to poke the bear. It's not really working.
You're going to have to work more on the guitar, mate. More guitar.
Oh, and break my leg.
Yeah, exactly.
And Joel Edgerton has been named GQ's Man of the Year for Australia, which is great. You know, it's an acknowledgement from his critically acclaimed film, Boy Erased, which is the film that he's directed and also starred in alongside Nicole Kidman and Russell Crowe. Shouldn't say against.
Oh, no, that actually piqued my interest.
Yeah.
I'd love to see you know, Edgerton versus Kidman.
I'd like to see Edgerton versus Crowe. Crowe couldn't even be bothered getting out of the chair, probably.
Yeah.
You talk him down.
And GQ Woman of the Year is Elizabeth Debicki, whose name is kind of new to us, but she's already making waves. She was in Peter Rabbit and she was also in The Great Gatsby.
Mm.
And she's starting to get her name out there a bit more in the States. So
Elizabeth versus Peter Rabbit. There's another battle.
And that's your Daily Juice.
Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Claire, Matt and Kimber.
Now, the moment you've been waiting for all morning. It's Captain Paul's joke of the day.
Yeah, come on, Jerry Seinfeld, do it.
He's excited. He thinks this is a beauty.
I'm not excited. Look, now I've ramped it up. No, I was just teasing. Look, I've just read a survey about the most popular way to get home from the pub after a long night on the drink.
Okay.
Yeah, the results were staggering.
That Big Breakfast catch-up was for the new Elite Triple Cell Solar Pool Blanket. Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Claire, Matt and Kimber. Weekdays from 6 a.m.